Hey y'all, I am so fired up because the Unstoppable Success Summit is in my hometown, Dallas, Texas this year. We are going to be coming to Dallas April 19th and 20th, 2024. So come join us. Look, success is built on relationships, and this is not some big, huge conference with thousands of people. This is an intimate, a very exclusive experience on purpose so you can build those meaningful connections, so you can rub shoulders with people like, oh my goodness, I've got John Gordon, Ben Newman, Rachel Luna, Rudy Ricksteins, Henry Amar. I'm speaking, there are mastermind members taking the stage. And so getting in the room is key, and getting in the right room can help you achieve unstoppable success. So if you spend your time with people who see your potential, you're more than likely to reach it. So make this year, make 2024 the most unstoppable, most successful year possible. Level up your business, level up your life, get the clarity, gain the confidence, get the real tools taught by people who have already paved the way for you. And I can't wait to see you there. So get ready to ditch your limiting beliefs and stop listening to fear and go after your dreams. Go to unstoppablesuccesssummit.com and I can't wait to see you in Dallas. Okay, see you there. Thank you for tuning in to the True Grit and Grace podcast. I'm Amberly Lago and I'll be sharing inspirational stories of resilience and empowering ideas to elevate your business and your life. Ignite your passion and fuel your purpose. Hey, thanks for tuning in to True Grit and Grace. I'm Amberly Lago, and I have a real treat for y'all today. One of my good friends, Trent Shelton, is with us. You guys, he is a former NFL player. He is now a sought-after, like, global speaker who speaks, all over the world. He's got millions and millions of followers. He's written 3 books. His newest book is called Protect Your Peace. And I could go on and on and on, but I want to get right to this and get to talk to Trent. So, Trent, thank you so much for being here on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's easy when you ask me to be on because I just love your heart and love what you stand for. So, thanks.
Thank you. Oh my goodness, Trent, you were one of my very first guests of the show when it first started. And that, I remember just being so nervous. I flew to Dallas, Fort Worth, and I drove to your studio and I had this brand new little handheld mic that I was holding in between us. And it just touched my heart that you were on the show. And then I have to say, the other day, I was driving, and don't worry, I was on, like, auto drive, and it popped up on my phone, and it said that your book was going to be arriving soon, because I ordered it right away as soon as I found out it was available, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to text Trent right now, like, I can't even pull over, I got to text them, and right away, you're like, yeah, I'll be on, and I'm so thank you. I know you are in the middle of your book launch, and I'm so excited about this book, especially because anytime I hear the word peace, or especially the phrase protect your peace, I always think about you. And I think it's so needed in the world right now. But also, I mean, even my husband and I got in a little argument last night. I was like, we need to go on vacation. He's like, you can't take a vacation. You can't take off from work. And so what was the moment in your life where you were like, I need to have peace. There's so much chaos around me. I need to claim my peace. Was there a moment when you really recognized that?
Absolutely. 2016, I was doing my Under His Influence tour. It was a 32-city tour. We did every major city, did 4 outside the country. About 500 to 1,000 people would show up. And it was my own event. And I was burnt out. Personally, I was going through some things. Professionally, I was going through some things. I knew I had to make some decisions that I didn't want to make, but I knew I did have to make. And in San Francisco, I got to my breaking point. And the beautiful thing about a breaking point, you either can break down or break through.
Yeah.
And I was choosing to break down, but as I always say, I smiled for the camera. Even though I was dying behind the scenes, I mustered up the strength and I said, you know what, let me go out here and inspire people. And I did. And nobody knew what I was going through except me. And I went backstage after the event went back to this alleyway, and I cried like a baby. Wow. Because I was so overwhelmed, and I didn't have peace in my life. And this is at the height at that time. So the videos are going viral, and everybody's asking me to speak, and this tour is going great, but yet I didn't have peace. And as I was in the alleyway, a guy, he seemed like he was homeless, but he walked down the alleyway, and he saw me. Mm. And he kind of laughed and smiled and said, "Oh, you're that guy that everybody's here to see." Oh. And I said, "Yeah, I'm Trent." He's like, "Yeah, that's your name." He said, "Man, like, it must be bad to be you." Wow. And I was like, and he said, no. He's like, "I mean, I see that you're crying out here, or something's going on, and everybody here loves you, but it seems like you don't love yourself." Gosh. And so I tried to push him on, and I reached in my pocket to give him $100. I was like, so he can get out of my face.
Yeah.
And he said, "No, I don't want that." He said,
"Wow.
It may look like I have nothing on the outside, but internally I have everything because I have peace."
Wow.
And he said, "For you, it looks like you have everything, but clearly you don't have nothing because you don't have peace." And that was the moment right there where I made up in my mind to prioritize peace as the leading force in my life.
That just gets me like emotional, as you can see, because I feel like that guy was an angel.
I really do.
I think he was like an angel in your life, even preparing you for even more greatness, because since then, yeah, that was the high point of everything. But like since then, I mean,
yeah,
you've gone to even higher heights.
Yes.
And I mean, you just got back in town from Tony Robbins Studios.
Yeah.
Where you were doing this huge event in front of, I don't know, it was over 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
You decided in that moment to claim your peace.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people out there that on the outside, it looks like they have it all. Like they've got the fame, they've got the big house, they've got the fancy cars. They're struggling. Besides a lot of noise in the world, there are a lot of people that are struggling. They don't have that inner peace.
Right.
What would you do to suggest, like, okay, this is what I did first to go, okay, I need to get some peace. This is where I start. Where does somebody start?
Yeah, so one of the principles in the book is disconnect often. So I had to disconnect from who the world knew me as. I had to disconnect from every idea, every perception put on me, every, you know, status people put on me, trench shell and this and this and this. And I had to disconnect. And I went back to my past too, because me playing in the NFL, I realized, like, even during those moments, I had my greatest thing happening in my life, but I was still unhappy. And so I realized, like, there has to be something more to life. So I disconnected. And how I disconnect, I actually did it this morning. I go out in nature and I strip everything away from me. Mm. And I say, who is Trent at the core? Mm. And I ask myself a few questions, like, do I really have peace? What's going on in my life? And I think the problem, Emily, for a lot of people is that they're afraid to spend time with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid to get to know themselves because they have to face the things that they're dealing with internally.
Mm-hmm.
And most people stay busy. They're always on the go because you don't have to deal with those things. So I had to be real with myself. And I asked myself, you know, if you didn't have anything tied to your life, no status, you know, who would you be? And if your life ended today, what would you leave here? What would you want people to say about you?
Mm-hmm.
And it was nothing about, oh, you have 15 million followers, or you're one of the top speakers in the world. Like, those things are cool. It was more about, man, Trent really just cared about people, and he really lived a life of fulfillment. And that's what I wanted to start seeking at that moment.
And you do, Trent. I was just saying before you got here, I was taught, like, there are a lot of people here in the studio that were like, oh my God, Trent Shelton is going to be here. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Actually, there was a former player, Preston Pearson. I don't know if you know who Preston Pearson is here. He's old time. He's 79 years old.
Gotcha.
He's here. He's starting his own show here. And people were flipping out. And even my mom and my grandmother, you know what I mean? And the thing is, I was telling them, I said, yeah, he's my favorite out of everybody that I've ever shared the stage with. Like, and I'm not just saying that.
Thank you.
Like, you're the real deal. You are. And I was telling them, I was like, no, he is a good, good person. Like, off the stage, on the stage, what you get is what you see. Like,
yeah,
he genuinely cares. And so when you say that, I'm like, that's what I love the most about you is your heart.
Yeah.
And you care so much. And I've seen you like
on a small stage, you know, like when we spoke at Embrace Your Ambition, that was like a quaint little area. And then I've seen you on huge stages and you pour out into the audience, whether it's a small stage or you're speaking in front of hundreds of thousands of people. And that's one of the things I really love about you. You talk about boundaries a lot. Yeah. And I love that you talk about a boundary is, it's not like a wall, but it's basically, it can be a bridge.
Yeah.
And I think that's so, can you explain more about that to the audience about what that means?
That's definitely principle number one in Protect Your Peace is set boundaries. And boundaries are beautiful things. Mm. I think boundaries have got a bad rap because when you say boundaries, people think wall, they think like chain link fences, like you can't come in my life. And it's only that when someone disrespects your boundaries over and over and over again. But boundaries are bridges. Bridges that lead you to what you say you need in your life. So if you say you need peace, okay, well, what's a boundary you need to set with yourself to obtain that peace?
Yeah.
If you say you need, you know, more connection or connection in your relationships and friendships, okay, what's a boundary you need to set to be able to get that?
Yeah.
And when you communicate your boundaries, because that's one thing I would tell the listeners, like a lot of people have, they set silent boundaries. And people don't know the boundaries and they get mad and they have this resentment to people for not respecting their boundaries. But you got to clearly communicate your boundaries so somebody can have a clear expectation of what you need, because that's fair to them. But when you do it right, it elevates everything in your life, with your kids, with your spouse, with your friends, with your employees. Like, I've seen it elevate every single area. Now, the conversation isn't always easy at first. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of tension there. But when they see the bigger picture of, oh, we're trying to make something greater, so that's why this boundary needs to be set. Let's do it.
Yeah, and I think that's hard sometimes at first, for me anyway, to set a boundary. And I think when I looked deep down at what that was, is I had to know that I was worthy enough to set that boundary. What would you say to someone that is, they're struggling, they want more peace in their life, they may need to set more boundaries to get them to know that they are worthy of having that peace and having those boundaries in their life? Where would they start?
Well, you need to get rid of, I think there's two reasons on top of feeling worthy. It's like a lot of times we worry. Like we worry that what's going to happen if I set this boundary? Like, is this person going to, you know, be angry at me and tell everybody my business or go on the internet and blast me? So, and another one is guilt. We feel guilty that we're leaving people behind.
Yeah.
And I always say you have to flip that. You're not leaving people behind. When you send out the invitation to somebody to say, this is what we're doing, this is the life that I'm living, they choose to stay behind, they're choosing to stay behind.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to worthy, you're worthy not because of anything you obtain, not because of how people see you, not because of how people view you. You're worthy because that's how you were created to be. So you have to detach your worth. That's principle number three, demand your worth. You have to detach your worth from all these external things first and foremost, because you will never feel worthy enough if your worth is tied to how the world sees you. Yeah. If your worth is tied to an algorithm, if your worth is tied to a status, you'll never feel worthy. So you have to get down to a foundational, fundamental understanding of worth. For me, it's my faith. So I know that's how I was created to be. So I'm worthy because of that.
Oh, and I love your faith, by the way.
Thank you.
And there's something I heard you say, I don't know if it was on your Instagram or one of your YouTube videos or something, but that God has prescribed a vision for your life.
Yeah.
I love that you say that. Can and how does someone start to listen or view that vision more, kind of get that peace in the quiet, so they can see that vision and go after that? What would you suggest for them to do?
Yeah, quiet time. I think we live in a chaotic world, and peace doesn't mean that the chaotic world is silence. That's like impossible. Like, peace doesn't mean that the storm doesn't exist. It just means that the storm is going to pass, or the storm is going to grow something in my life that's more beautiful. But it's about finding the calm inside you. So everybody has their thing. Like for me, it's headphones, listening to frequencies or instrumental music or worship music. For me, it's sometimes just listen to birds chirping. That's my thing. Some people meditate, some people, you know, work out. But you gotta find your environment that triggers that. And the thing I would tell people when it comes to experiencing, like, I think more peace in your life, it's about getting clear on what do you really wanting your life and needing your life. Mm-hmm. And I like to say, like, when it comes to prescription, like, I love talking about that, because I would ask you, whose glasses are you wearing and how you're seeing the world? Are you wearing the glasses that pain forced you to wear? Are you wearing the glasses that somebody's opinions forced you to wear, your past forced you to wear? Are you wearing your true prescription that was given to you by God? Oh, and as long as you're wearing somebody else's lenses, you're going to see, you're not going to see clear. You're going to feel confused, because you're living a life that those things have now influenced you to live, instead of living the life that you're meant to live. So you have to be comfortable with saying, you know what, I'm taking off these glasses and I'm going to trust my vision. And when you trust your vision, people aren't going to understand it. Mm-hmm. People aren't going to see it. People aren't going to get it, nor are they supposed to. They're not. It wasn't given to them. If God wanted them to see the vision, he would have gave it to everybody else. And so you have to trust that knowing inside you. I like to say, listen to your soul.
Yeah.
A lot of us, intuition, you can call it discernment. Some people call it the Holy Spirit, but listen to your soul when your soul is speaking. And what is your soul saying? But a lot of us discredit it, because we hear our soul and says, hey, Amberly, go for this. Or, hey, Trent, do this. Then we look outside at the external alignment. We're like, that don't make sense. So I'm going to follow the external. So you have to be able to find enough faith and confidence in yourself and the plan that God has put in your life to say, you know what, I'm going to trust you even when I don't understand.
Yeah. And I know, like, when you first started speaking, I mean, I relate to this so much, because when I first wanted to write my book, this was before I became a speaker or anything. And I told a few family members, I want to write a book. And they're like, you're crazy, girl. You're the fitness girl. Like,
for sure.
You don't even know. I didn't even own a computer. Like, they're like, you don't have a college education. Just go back to the fitness. And here you were, athlete, NFL player. And you're like, you know, I think I'm going to be a speaker. Did you share that with anyone when you first were like, I think I'm called to speak. Did you share that with anyone?
I did. I definitely shared it with people. And 99% of the people didn't get it.
Yeah.
They didn't see it, because all they saw, and it doesn't make them bad, but all they saw was who I was to them, who they knew.
Yeah.
They didn't see who I was becoming.
Yeah.
They didn't see, and sometimes they didn't want to see it because it wasn't beneficial to them.
Yeah, and it's uncomfortable. Change is uncomfortable. They're like, but no, this is who you are and how you are and what you do. Don't be go changing on me, you know? So,
but the people who gave me the encouragement to go do it, there were people who were doing it. So oftentimes, I always say this, like, we bring our dream to people who aren't dreamers. We bring our vision to people who aren't visionaries. And, like, you got to consider the source, because some
powerful.
People are too close to you to see your greatness. And you got to realize that. Friends, family, they're just too close. They're just too familiar with you. All you are is such and such from high school. You're just little Trent to them.
Yes.
That's it. So you have to be able to give your vision to the world of strangers that really need your mission, so they can verify and validate the gifts inside of you.
Well, Trent, you encouraged me when I was brand new. And I've told you how grateful I am for you for this. And I'm going to try not to cry when I tell you this. But I mean, okay, Trent, like, I was brand new. And I remember I was speaking at this it was the first time I think I'd ever shared the stage with you. It was the first time I'd ever been on a stage. You were backstage, like all the other speakers were, you know, in their fancy secluded green room or whatever. And you were with your family eating with the rest of it. Like, I always like hanging out with everybody. And you were like hanging out with the rest of us, eating and stuff. And so kind and so nice to me. And I had messaged you or DM'd you on Instagram, and I had a really important business question for you.
Remember.
You sent me your number, and I texted you because I really needed some advice. And I'll never forget, my husband was like, are you kidding me? You texted Trent Shelton Amberly. Do you know who he is? I was like, well, yeah, but I really need help. And and you sent me a voice memo back, and you advised me, and you saved me over $20,000 on this business opportunity. And the way you encouraged me, you said, Amberly, just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I did. And it's been like 4 years later, And since then, I've been able to grow, and absolutely, I want to protect my peace. And another thing that I'll never forget is, so I finally get to your place. You come in, and we're in your place in Fort Worth, mm-hmm, and we set up. And you come in and sit down, and you've got two cell phones. And I'm like, dang, I said, and I even mentioned it. I was like, you've got two cell phones? Like, I can barely keep up with one, and you've got two? And I get it now.
Yeah.
Like, now I get it, because I woke up this morning, and I try to clear out text messages and email before I get to bed, and I woke up, and I had, like, 28 new text messages and 172 new emails, and it's just, and my husband's always like, it's never ending.
Yeah.
Amberly, you're never going to get caught up. And I love that you have kind of this morning that you have toward by yourself to, mm-hmm, have your peace before you let the world in and answer calls and all that. I'm just curious, like, what does the day in the life of Trent Shelton in the morning look like? Yes. What does that look like?
It's very boring. But you're right, because I have a non-negotiable, like, to not be available to the world. And, you know, I have my days where I don't stick to that, but majority of my days, I'm not available to the outside world, unless it's super important, because my thing is like, is it worth my peace? Is it that important that it can't wait a few hours?
Yeah.
And I only know a few things in the world that are that important. And so I need that time for myself, because even with my focus, like, one of the principles is guard your focus. And if I'm focusing on responding to emails or texts, it pulls me out. This is just me as a human. Like, I get in flow state and I get locked in. Uh-huh. And if I get distracted, it's hard for me to get locked back in. So I'm really protecting my creativity.
Yeah.
I'm protecting my time, and it just makes me better. So yeah, I live a life of do not disturb, like, not just on my phone, but on my soul too.
You have a hat that says that too, don't you?
I do,
you?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And some people don't get it. Some people are like, man, I can never get a hold of you. And it's not that, because I'm going to respond. I'm like, just not ghosting people and ignoring people.
Yeah.
But my friends understand now, like, nah, Trent, like, he shows up better when he's taking care of himself. Like, when I'm in the trails, like, Maria has understood that now. Cause at WOW, she's like, man, like, you're, but she realized, like, oh, Trent's just better, a better husband, better energy, better father. I love this energy. So she knows, like, of course, if she calls me three times, I better pick up. You know what I mean?
But that's my husband.
So I know that one. But she gives me the grace to be able to give me what I need. And also, I give her the same thing, because now she realized, oh, you need this time for yourself? Take it, because you're going to be better when you come back to your world, you know?
Yeah, it's funny, because my husband knows, like, I need my mornings to myself, and I get up super early just to have that quiet time to myself. And sometimes he'll get up and he'll be like, oh, okay, no, I know, this is your time. This is your time. I'm going in the other room, you know? So he knows that now. But I think it's really important to have that time to yourself. And a lot of people, they don't understand that. And even, I don't know about you, but I even do a lot of speaking events, mm-hmm, where they want me to go to a dinner or something the night before. And I'm like, and they schedule me out for the whole day. They're like, you're going to have a book signing here. You're going to do meet and greet here. You're going to do this breakout room, then back on the stage. And it's like, if you want me to show up and give it my all, I need to protect my energy and to do that. Do you find that happens sometimes?
All the time.
Really?
All the time. And I tell people that I can do it after. Like, if some after my speaking, great. Even me as a communicator, like, I love listening to speakers, but sometimes I can't, because
I can't.
How my energy will get depleted very easily. Like, my team knows, like, I will give my all. I will show up as like a lion. And then after that, like, my battery's just gone. It's depleted. And I just kind of disconnect. And so if I'm not interacting, like, I remember I was at an event. It's funny you said it on the positive side, but I was at an event, and I had my headphones on. I was just to myself.
And I see you.
Yeah.
I've been backstage with you. And you've got your headphones on, and I respect that.
Yeah.
When I see you, and actually when we've been backstage before, and I saw people coming up to you, and I'm like, dude, he's got his headphones on. Like,
well, I just want to, it's my way of getting ready to go out and give my best,
yes,
right?
So I'm
like
internalizing,
making sure energy's right. And I want to respect the room to give my best. And so, but I had that situation, was like, you know, I was doing this. So after I spoke, the guy came up to us, man, I want to apologize, man, because everybody's saying like how much you're like a people person. And I was like, this dude's over here kind of by himself, not interacting. But he's like, I realized. He was like, oh, snaps. Like, you really get into this space that you need when you show up. And I was like, I get it now. And so, yeah, it kind of works both ways. But yeah, I would definitely protect my peace when it comes to that so I can show up and give the energy that's required.
Yeah. Well, I know you have so many principles in the book, but one of them that I want to talk about, I think that you have is energy, like how to protect your energy. Because for me now, like I used to measure things by time, and I don't really do that anymore. I measure things by how much energy is it going to take for me to go fly to Florida and give that keynote and then be around all these people, which I love being around people, but I'm the kind of person where I refill my cup by being out in nature too. Yeah. Back when I was first moving to Dallas, I was talking to you or messaged you and I said, is there any place to go hiking out here? And you're like, well, it's not going to be like California, but you gave me some places. But I measure it in energy. How do you go about protecting your energy?
Yeah, it's pretty much similar to yours. Like, a lot of us think that we have an infinite amount of energy, meaning that like we're not gonna run out. And yeah, there might be some people out there, but that's definitely not me. Like, my energy will go down quick. And so how I even start my day, you know, it's the good saying, like, eat the frog first thing. Like, that's not always my mentality, because I know sometimes eating the frog or doing the biggest task, it drains me. Mm-hmm. And I got kids, I got a lot of things I gotta show up for. So what I do is I go at the task that's gonna multiply my energy. So I'm gonna work out. I'm gonna create content on like most of my content is done in the morning time that I put on social, because it fires me up. And I do the little things that create, that multiplies the energy. Like, I call them the generator.
Yeah.
Things that multiplies this energy. So when I do the big thing around 12 or 1 o'clock, you know, like this moment, this is a big moment of my day. And so I wanna make sure my energy is at the highest height so I can serve. And so that's how I do it, and it works for me.
I love that. And yeah, you know what? For me, people think I'm always motivated or always full of energy, and I'm not. I get depleted. But one of the things that does energize me is movement, moving my body and going to the gym. And so I don't, you know, you hear everybody has their own way of doing things. Sometimes I don't always get to get my workout first thing in the morning, but I know if I do it later on in the day, it's going to give me energy.
That's right.
And it does energize me to be around certain people. Do you sense when you're around somebody that you're like, holy crap, they're sucking the life out of me? Do you sense that? Because I do. And I'm like, uh-oh, that person's an energy vampire.
Yep.
And what do you do in that in those cases? Like,
I call them peace thieves and peace stealers in the book.
Yeah, peace thieves.
Yeah, they're stealing your peace. And
ooh, I like that.
So one of my qualities that I'm never the person to say, like, I'm this or I'm that, but people have always told me, said, Trent, you can read a room. Like, you can read people's energy, and, you know, people will call it empath. And I do believe, I don't know if that's the word, but I do believe, like, I can, like, smell energy from miles away. And I do try to avoid it. Like, and I'm unapologetic about it. Like, if I know somebody's calling my phone and all they want to do is complain, all they do is want something, or all they do is like something, talk about people, they're going to voicemail.
Yeah.
And I might send them a text or something like that. But yeah,
and
I'm very clear about that.
And you can feel it on the phone. I will feel it the minute I see their name pop up on my phone. Like, when I see your name pop up on my phone, I think I might jump for joy. I swear. I'm like, my God, it's Trent. Like, that's how much energy you give. Like, it's amazing. But yeah, you can feel it as soon as their name pops up on your phone. And I don't have a tolerance for the negativity. I don't. I mean, look, I know we all have bad days and stuff, and I'm not saying that we don't have to acknowledge those feelings, but I like to, like, shift my perspective to something positive. And how, because I know we're running out of time, but you talk about shifting your perspective a lot too. What is the quickest and easiest way for somebody to shift their perspective when they are one of those peace thieves? Mm-hmm. They know it. Maybe they don't know it. Maybe I need to tell them about it. But but how, give some advice to those people, because, you know, I know people, especially in my family, that I'm like, gosh, I wish I could shift their perspective. What do you say to somebody to help them shift their perspective or shift your own perspective?
So there's a, so if you're trying to like change and save people, because I know a lot of people are like, you care so much.
Yeah.
You gotta, I love to say, I'm giving you to God. That's not my job.
That's good.
You know, and that's helped me because there's so many people, like when my mother passed, I made a promise to like, everybody's gonna be okay because of me. And it was so much of a burden that I'm like trying to take care of everybody and everything. And I said, I had to give these situations and people to God and let God deal with them, even though I want to see the best. Because even though I want to see the best them, doesn't mean that that's who they were meant to be. And so I had to let go of that. But to shift your perspective, it's all about questions. And I love to ask myself, like, how is this serving my energy? Simple, like this conversation, how is this, this person, this interaction, how is this serving my energy? And you're not in control of the experiences, but you are in control of the meaning you give to the experiences. So I love to say, experiences have no meaning until you give it one. And so for me, I love to define certain environments, certain things, and by the truth that that's gonna help me be able to recognize like what it really is. Cause sometimes we could be blinded by like a person or a situation. So I would tell people this, to keep it simple. The next time something happens in your life and you wanna take control and have power and shift your perspective from your prison to your power, your prison perspective is blaming everybody else, is everybody else's fault. Your power perspective is taking ownership. Just ask yourself, instead of saying, what does this mean? Just ask yourself, what is this going to mean? When I say that, people are looking at me like, what does this mean? You're usually gonna develop a meaning that you've had in your past that doesn't serve you. So like, if I say, oh man, you know, I got cut from the NFL, this means my life is over. I probably would say that. But in my power perspective, I'm gonna say, you know what? This is gonna mean, yeah, that's over, but I have a new chapter that's coming. And I'm in control of what the meaning is gonna be. So next time something happens, you take ownership and say, what is this going to mean? And create an powerful, empowering meaning that's gonna serve your next season or your next chapter of your life.
That's so good. It takes courage and it's really being an acceptance for who you are and where you are on your journey.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I had written down like a million questions and I have so many more questions to ask you. But this book, I feel like everything you do, your heart's so big and you're so authentic. And this book, you have lived it over the past few years for sure. I mean, absolutely. Not just with what everybody's experienced with what happened when the world kind of shut down and there's so much chaos, but I mean, the loss of your mom, then your daughter, being in the hospital, that was a scary moment.
Yeah.
And you have basically lived out these principles. This is not something that you know, there's a lot of people that write books because they've got a PhD. You have got a PhD in life experience for this. And you have really, over these past few years, had to learn to protect your peace. And this is all in the book.
Yes.
And it's coming out. And I know that you have all the, well, I don't know if it's still available. Do you still have if they pre-order?
Yeah.
They get all, what all they get if they pre-order?
So you get access to my course, Self-Worth Master, which is my favorite course ever. If you're struggling with self-worth, like it's worth it. I mean, that's a $300 course that you get for free. If you do it within the next, it'll still be available. I'm giving a giveaway to my cabin. Protect Your Peace Cabin in Broken Bow. I have a cabin and I'm giving three giveaways. So you can bring up to 13 people. So three people are going to be able to bring whoever they want to
that
Broken Bow, Oklahoma.
Amazing.
To live and experience like my favorite place of peace in the world. So
wow.
That's the huge, huge giveaway. And then there's other little things that you can get if you just go on the site and pre-order.
Okay.
Or order. Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on when you're listening to it.
Okay. And then what's next for you? Like you're off, I know, to California. You're all over the place. So for you to come in and take some time to pour into the True Grit and Grace podcast means the world. I mean, this like winning the lottery to get to see you. Every time I get to see you, I'm like,
it's an easy yes.
I just appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
What's next for you? What are some of the big things that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I have a few TV shows. I'm doing today's show, Tamron Hall, a lot of stages. And this is premature, but it's coming. So I turned 40 this year. And so I'm doing something.
You're a youngster.
I'll take it. I'm doing some major. So I do an event every year. This past year was Protect Your Peace Experience, which was incredible. And it's actually an experience. I mean, it's music. It's aerial. It's the whole
shebang. It looked amazing. I so wanted to be there. I was blown away. It was like incredible.
Thank you.
To see what you put in, like the music and everything that you put into it. And it was a huge auditorium.
Yeah. It's over 1,000 people. And this year we're going to do something special. And I'm trying to figure out what it is, but around September 21st, my birthday, we're going to do something huge and special. So, you know, be on the lookout for that.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Y'all, if you're not already following Trent, you have got to follow him. I mean, not just on Instagram, he's on TikTok, YouTube, listen to his podcast. Oh my gosh. You have one of the top, like, 0.01% podcast. Like, it's the top podcast out there. And so listen to his podcast. Follow him on his journey, order his book. Where's the best place for people to order it?
Amazon. You go to TrentShelton.com, but Amazon, I would say anywhere you can find it, that's the best place. But if you're an Amazoner, that'd be great. But anywhere you can find it, Barnes and Nobles, this should be out pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, but y'all go to, head over to his Instagram. In your Instagram handle, there's a link right there that people can, you can get all the free stuff.
That's right. Take
all
advantage
the free
of it.
Stuff.
Take advantage of it, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Trent, thank you so much being on the show. I just, like I said, I adore you. I so appreciate your time. And just thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm so excited about this book, so congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank y'all for tuning in. We'll see you next week.